Finally, man, you ready to roll? Here we go. What's going on, Kuya? I appreciate you doing this, man.
Yeah, man, I appreciate you guys for thinking about me. Shit, this is, it's always a good feeling when people think about me and, you know, reliving my past, but it's like, it's a great past for me to relive.
Hell yeah, man. But I want to talk a lot about the present, man, because a lot of the stuff you're doing now, I'm super intrigued by. You're this badass fighter in the ring, crushing people, but yet you're a girl dad, right? So give me a story of something that she does that like you're like, bro, I'm the Filipino phenom. How am I doing this? So give me something she makes you do that you're like, all right, only a girl dad would do this.
That's so funny because my daughter is a little different because she's been training with me. Like I never forced her. I never forced her to train ever.
Okay.
But she always wanted to come and watch me and stuff like that. Now she actually confessed a little secret to me.
Okay.
She wants to be a fighter.
Stop it.
I couldn't believe it. When I was like, and the first thing I asked her was, did you tell your mom? Because you know how moms feel about that.
Of course.
And she goes, no.
What?
In a way, you know, dad to daughter, that was, it was a great feeling because it was like, I mean, that it was something that we could kind of keep together. Like, yeah, you know, that was our bond. You know what I'm saying? That it was a strong bond and not to keep secrets or anything like that, but I can't think of any other kind of secrets that she would want to keep, you know, like.
But you know, I went on your Instagram. She's badass. You got her shooting guns. Like no one's going to mess with her ever. So the fighting thing is just another step up. You want to make sure, hey, listen, so that's cool. Like badass shooting guns, man. That's some dope shit, bro.
Thank you. I appreciate it. So do you have kids too?
No kids. No kids for us. One long
okay.
enough.
Okay.
So half Filipino, obviously how you came on my radar. I knew who you are. But, you know, any kind, if there's a half Filipino person, my whole wife's side of the family goes crazy for about it. Have you ever been there? Have you ever visited the Philippines?
You know, I know I'm going to get shit for this. No, I haven't.
Why?
But I know. I do. My dad lives there now, and I got to go visit. And so 2020 was like a real whole halt, and I know I should have been there way before, but you know the timing was off. So
do you speak it at least?
I konti lang.
Oh no, Eddie, come on.
Konti lang. But you know what though? If from what I hear, if you go to the Philippines, it's like Taglish right now.
Yeah, it's all Taglish. I'm learning it, and it's frustrating because my wife's like, "Hey, I'm like, let's put on a Filipino movie." I'm like, babe, why are they speaking half of it in English? Like, that's Taglish. I'm like, no, tell them to speak Tagalog. That's what I'm trying to learn. It's so hard to learn.
Way. Disappearing.
It is. How about this? Favorite Filipino food?
Oh, adobo, of course.
Of course, right?
Of course, man. I mean, and I'm like the typical Filipino that says, I make the best adobo. but you know what? I can vouch for it, too. If you're ever here in town,
okay.
I'm serious.
I'm going to take you up on it, bro.
Go for it. I'll invite you guys over for dinner, and I'll cook you guys some chicken adobo. And that's actually, we had fights last night at my gym.
Okay.
And I served everyone food, and I try to make something really easy because I'm so busy that week. And to me, making adobo is so easy because I'm so good at it. Like, it's so, like, second nature to me. I've been making it for so long.
I'm actually glad you brought up food because I went on your Instagram, and you're big on promoting food now, but not just healthy eating, a healthy mindset, inner and outer, you know, taking in the sun, walking on the grass. I'm into that. My family, good. A lot of it, thinks I'm crazy. When did you get so conscious of healthy food and – I know you do OMAD a lot, like one meal a day. When did you get into all that stuff?
It's a great question because it wasn't like I was like this in my fight career because I was totally opposite.
Okay.
Yeah, man. That was a really good question because it was about 2020, actually. 2020 is what started me. It started making me think differently about everything, about life and the world and, you know, everything. And I actually realized a lot of things in 2020, and you know, for me, it was my business being shut down, and then having to understand why, and that's the reason why I came to that conclusion. Why I started thinking about my health, and it's because of all the understanding that I was getting when I was researching
because you're into it. You're into organic food, certain vegetables, very few ingredients, no processed food. Like, you're into it big time, like cookbook status. Has that ever crossed your mind?
Food has been a part of my life forever. Okay. And so eventually I know I'm going to be, I don't know where and when, but eventually it may happen soon. I'll have my own clean vegetation and livestock, and I'll be able to cook food for people, clean food. And I've been cooking all my life, but I'm not a certified chef, but honestly, like, I can make the same shit as someone that says they're certified, but also all natural ingredients. And that's key.
Huge, man. I loved, social media has so many negatives, so many flaws. The one good thing that I love about it is it really brought awareness to the food industry. And like I get my food, I live in Brooklyn, New York, and I get my food delivered once a week from the Amish down in Lancaster. The eggs, like, dude, my family's going to flip out when they listen. I'm like, hey, this is a store egg. It's like dark, it's horrible yellow. Look at the vibrant yellow of the Amish eggs. And they're like, all right, bro, enough with the eggs. I'm like, no, this is food that's not killing us. Like, it's so important. Like, I'm so into it. So when I was reading about you, like, you had the plate with like six eggs and avocado, vegetables, and all your meat, everything looks good. I'm like, bro, this is how it's done. Like, you feel so much better mentally, physically, right?
All day. Man, you know, I'm so glad, man. I'm so glad you're into that.
It's huge, man. The only thing I get upset about is so many people, like my mom. I'm like, mom, stop with this. She's like, no, high cholesterol. Like, mom, let's read. Like, don't be, the food pyramid. Like, mom, we can reinvent stuff. All that stuff wasn't true to us, but no one wants to believe it. I'm like, RFK, personally, and like, he has a lot of great things he's saying about food, man.
Yeah. I mean, we're so deep. We're so deep into the whole, into their system already. So, I mean, there's no changing
none.
Whatever they're going to do. But there's all the changing that we can do in our lives to get better. And it's crazy because 2020 was actually, it was a real big awakening in my life.
Yes.
And it went from my business being shut down because of a virus. And in my head, I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah, exactly. Like, people's lives were ruined. But you didn't work for Target or Walmart, so it didn't matter. But home mom-and-pop businesses, like, lost everything. Like, dude, that's what opened me up, too. Like, people are like, when did you get into all this? I'm like, when everything happened, when I saw people, all they wanted to do was work and provide their family, wasn't allowed to. Like, food-wise and stuff, man. It's so frustrating and heartbreaking. But a lot of good came out of it because look what you're doing now. Like, it opened your eyes and stuff, made you a better person.
Right. Yeah, you're right.
So do you have any vices, drinking, gambling, or are you just fighting and eating healthy?
I smoke marijuana.
Okay.
You know.
That's all right.
Yeah. That's it. It's crazy because I have friends, I have party friends and I'll be the only one that'll be chilling over there smoking my weed and they'll be doing lines and I'm just, hey. Hey, I've never seen you up here. Come on, man. No thanks. I'm good. What?
Great.
I don't drink alcohol. I just smoke, man. Drink water with lemon.
Yeah. One last thing with your diet, though. Do you still do OMAD? You still doing one meal a day, or you do?
I do.
And what is your diet usually like? Like, give me a normal day for you.
Okay. So those videos that I make, mm-hmm. I literally. And the only time I make a new one is because it's different things on the cutting board,
Okay.
And if it's the same thing, I'm not going to post a new video because it's the same shit. They're like, oh, what did he use? The same video? Yeah. Got to change the cutting board or something. But, I lost my train of thought.
Like a diet. Like, what does your diet usually consist of?
Okay. With the same videos, it's 85% water saturated diet. Mm-hmm. And when I make those videos, about 9 to 11 p.m. in that window.
Okay.
And then, because I'm a night owl. Not that I go out, but I just, yeah. I sleep kind of late, you know? So I'm right. like 2 a.m. I go to bed at 2 a.m. sometimes 3 when I'm, I don't know what I'm doing, that I'm into something, that I'm up till 3. And then I wake up and I fast. I fast until I feel like drinking water. And then I drink as much water as I can.
Okay.
So that would probably be my breakfast.
Yeah.
That would be my breakfast. And sometimes that would be around, I guess just depends on what I do. But if it's a normal day, when I'm just waking up, like a Sunday, for example, it would probably be like at 11 a.m. I'll take a drink.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then you just crush water until you're ready to eat dinner.
And then every day I feel differently. Mm-hmm. So some days I feel like snacking on a fruit. And so I'll eat like some blueberries or sometimes I'll snack on some cottage cheese with honey.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, when I have really a real sweet tooth, that's when I go to my cottage cheese
and honey. Yeah, me too, man.
Oh, no shit.
Bro, no joke, but I'm like craving candy. I'm like, I need candy. Let me get, some raw honey, put it over some cottage cheese. And it gives you, I try to tell people, like, that gives you your natural sugar. And boom, I got it. It crushes the craving.
That's so it's so crazy, man. This is great. It's great because meeting like-minded people is especially
in the food game. When you tell people, "Bro, fast in 18 hours," I'm like, "Yo, just hear me out. If you ever try it, like your body feels. I get the best workouts when you fast that whole day. Like, don't you?
Yeah, it's crazy because kids come into class and they're doing a class, and in the middle of class they're running in the bathroom vomiting. I'm like, "What did you eat? Oh, I ate. Oh, my mom took me to go." And I look at the mom. I'm like, "Don't feed him before you take him." "Oh, but he's after school. He's hungry." I'm like, no, empty. Like, even in a fight, fight day, they ask me, "Oh, so what should he eat?" I say, "Nothing."
Yeah.
And they're like, "What? But what?" No, nothing. Empty. And then some of them, they're still hard head. They're like, "Here, eat this." I know. But those are the fat kids.
You're right, though. But, ingrained breakfast is the most important meal of the day. It's like, no, let's – dude, I'm loving this, bro.
Ingrained.
It is, man. It's ingrained in people. You just
– Man, we got to do this more often because, this is great, man, because I like that you were on the same page, two minds that think the same. Shoot, man, if you want me to be in another podcast with you, let me know.
Hell yeah, bro. And before we get into your career in the fight, there's one other thing with the food you just mentioned. It's ingrained. It's so difficult to tell people, I'm like, "Hey, just hear me out. But you can have breakfast, but have your breakfast at maybe 2 p.m., like fast. And if you want your eggs, it doesn't have – no, oatmeal in this." I'm like, no, like, hear me out. But, they're ingrained, cereal for breakfast. I know.
It's the crazy.
Best is when I went to your Instagram and I saw, like, you counted the eggs. And sometimes if I had, like, 5 eggs, I was like, "Bro, there goes your cholesterol." I'm like, "Bro, like, just come on."
Yeah, I know. They lied. It was such a big lie. We were kids and we were there. Our parents told us.
Hell yeah, of course.
"This pyramid, you follow this pyramid." And they fed the shit out of us.
Yeah.
But look, they created that obese society.
Yes, bro. We're the fattest people in the world, man. All right, let's talk some fighting now. You're a black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. How long does it take you to get that? I know it's a process, but how long do you become a legit black belt? A real one, not like these people just keep paying to do it.
Oh, man. It took me at least 15 years, man.
No shit, really?
Yeah. Ooh.
When you're doing the fighting early on, because I run, I work out, I box a little bit, I'm dying to do jiu-jitsu. And I'm like, I'm too old, I'm out the game. And I know I'm not. Mentally, how can I get into that game of stepping into the, I don't want to say octagon, stepping on the mat for the first time? That's my big, I have no fear. I signed up for a marathon last year, did a marathon. I'll do this, but for some reason, I don't take the step into doing jiu-jitsu. And I don't know why, man.
Okay. You know what it is? A lot of people get intimidated, and I get that a lot.
Yeah,
guys come in here, even big dudes, they walk in the gym, but then they get intimidated too. And sometimes a big guy comes in, he gets intimidated because a small guy half his size, like me, I'm like handling him,
whooping his ass.
Whoa, this can't be happening, and it just destroys his ego.
Yeah, right.
Destroys his ego, and he never comes back ever again. Never see the guy ever again in my whole life.
They always say people come either one time, or when they come that second time, they get addicted to it.
Yeah. And what it is for you, I just feel like you're probably afraid to hurt something. You're probably, you know, like, and I don't want any of my students getting hurt. Mm-hmm. So one of the things I want to implement is don't get hurt. Just tap. If you feel like something's tweaking, just tap. You know, even if it was a stupid tap, you're going to learn that it was a stupid tap, you know?
Yeah.
Someone has your neck and you're like, okay. And okay, no, never tap like that ever again. Okay. Oh, shit. Okay. All right. And then you'll feel what a real choke feels like to really tap. And then you'll learn to understand how to defend and not tap and not panic. And you're like, okay, shit. Now all of a sudden you're fighting to defend.
And I heard it's the best workout too. The best workout in the world is that, right? Yeah, ever.
Okay, so for example, like we're in that position right there where we're fighting the choke, right? So it's called 2-on-1 where we have two hands on that one arm that's trying to choke you, right? Mm-hmm. So 2-on-1, ugly. I call this the ugly face because you can't look sexy doing it. I mean, you tell me anybody that looks sexy doing this and I want to take a picture of them, okay? So you make the ugly face 2-on-1, and from here, you defend the choke, and you get comfortable in this position right here, and you fight, and you won't panic. When you panic, and then you get choked, you know? But you learn how to do all that process of relaxing in the right situations and calming, breathing in the right positions and getting into the right position before you submit, you know, all those things.
I'm gonna try it. I'm born and raised in New York. You're a Hawaii guy. Obviously, I've been to Hawaii a few times. I think it's heaven. Obviously, that's a tourism part of it. Forget about, you know, the overpopulation, everything going on there. What was the best thing about growing up in Hawaii?
The beaches, man. Yeah. It's the beaches.
Unbelievable. Know? Yeah, the most perfect things in the world.
I mean, we could say family, but that's anywhere. That's family's family. You know, but Hawaii. Like, after you live in other places, Hawaii is, man, it's so golden.
Where do you live now?
Vegas.
Do you miss not being next to the ocean right away? I know you have pools and everything. Yeah, so that's the one thing you miss, like the ocean, the beach, right?
That's what it is. Like, when I get off of a plane, that's the first place I go is to the beach. I don't care what beach it is. I just like, you know, whoever picks me up in the airport, I'm like, whatever beach you feel like going to, that's where I want to go. I don't care if it's right there. I don't care if it's the ugliest beach that, you know, the locals talk shit about. You know, like, oh, that's an ugly view. That's good. Doesn't matter to me because I'm humbled now.
Mm-hmm.
Living in a fucking desert. You know what I mean? Like, it's very humbling.
I admire you so much because obviously once we started texting, I knew you were coming on. Forget about the food aspect and the UFC part. The part that really made you like this awesome dad, because like you're a role model now. We're not going to talk about the unspeakable tragedy that happened when you were 15 that changed the person you are. You had a rough life. Like you got shot at such a young age. And you know what always blows me away about that? I want to talk about that. You were shot. You mentioned wrong place, wrong time. We can get into that. But that didn't even change your path because you still stayed on that bad path for a couple more years. What finally turned it around for you and be like, okay, I'm going to, you know, be this role model, be this great guy, and eventually a great father and stuff. What changed for you?
Man, you have the best questions.
No, because, Eddie, I'll be honest, when I read it, I'm like, oh, dude got shot at 16? Okay, so obviously it's 16 and a half. He turned his life around. And I'm like, no, you went to prison at 19. I'm like, wait a minute, after you got shot, like, how didn't that turn you around? So what was your full circle? Like, okay, I'm going to turn my life around. Because the shooting should have did it.
Right. Yeah, I know. It's just not having the right support group.
Wow.
You know? Yeah, not having the right support at the right time. Yeah, you know, sometimes when we're kids and we're young, we do things we don't understand that we do. You know, even though we say we understand, we don't know shit. And so I was, you know, one of those kids where I thought I knew what I thought I knew everything. And then I just did, like I said, I didn't have the right support group. And I followed the wrong group. You know, I chose the wrong friends. I think we've all done that at one point.
Of course.
And it was always, you know, the cool guys. it was the cool guys, the tough guys that look cool, and you know what I'm saying?
Of course, bro.
Basically, all right, I'm going to say it for all the fellas out there. We all hung out with the dudes that got all the girls. Come on.
Yo, Eddie, it's so funny you said that. Yesterday, a buddy and I were just talking about, like, basically we were talking about how, like, kids now doesn't seem like they hang out with girls. Like, I'm like, when I was 16 and 17, my whole life was playing baseball, playing basketball, trying to get beer, and then trying to hook up. Like, there was nothing else I cared about. I cared about the Yankees, but, I mean, my life was just girls. So I only hung out with dudes who wanted to meet girls. Like, and I'm like, so we were talking about that. So when you mentioned it, that was it. Like, why are those still your best friends since you were 13? And the honest answer is, like, because all we want to do is hook up. Like, that's the truth. You can say what you want. That's all I cared about.
Yeah. That's so funny.
So now you, obviously, I just mentioned you went to prison at 19. You came out. Is that when you really started fighting, or were you fighting a little earlier? Not street fights. I mean, were you fighting earlier, or when you 19, 20, when you got out of prison, like, okay, I'm going to be a fighter? Because that's like a weird transition also.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you the story. Okay. So it's like this. You have really good questions, man. I love your questions. That's why I love to work with you, man. It's great. Okay. So when I was, I was 17, so it was after I got shot.
Okay.
You know, I somewhat changed my life, right?
Okay.
You know, I went to Job Corps. So, you know, I'm on the right direction, you know?
Yeah.
I'm on the right direction. I'm going to Job Corps. And I take up masonry. And I'm waiting to jump into culinary eventually. But masonry was the only thing that was open. Culinary was full, so I had to wait for it to open up. In the meanwhile, I met someone in there that was a big heavyweight guy. He was one of my boys back in the day, and he was so into MMA. But his thing was, like, he liked to collect videos from all over the world that was, like, submission grappling and vale tudo. And so he had, like, a box full of just videos, and I was like, wow, like, from all over the world. I don't even know where he gets to, like, order them from all over. All right. He had stuff from Russia, China, Brazil.
What? Okay.
Yeah. He had all those. He had all of them. And I was like, wow. So we used to sit there, and we used to watch him over and over and practice those moves that we saw when we were watching. And kind of, you know, wanted to become our own little team or whatever, you know. But this is way before even, like, the ring.
Okay.
You know, so it was like, it wasn't way before the ring. It was during the ring days. It was during the ring days.
Okay.
When Pride was, you know, full blast. Mm-hmm. I look up to Vanderlei, but what was I saying?
Yeah, so you're watching all these videos with him.
Okay, watching the videos with him, and then we're training at Job Corps, and we would get a group together, and we would train on mats and stuff like that. And I was really into it, you know. And then I got kicked out of Job Corps. I get kicked out of Job Corps because I don't know who it was, but usually when someone goes and digs into your past, like, they're hating on you. Something happened to where someone decided to dig, and they dug into my past, and they said because I had a felony, I can't be in school. So they freaking kicked me out. And I was like 4 to 6 months into learning, like, masonry. So I learned a little bit of masonry, and I got my GED in there, you know. So I accomplished some things. Mm-hmm. But it was just for those little things that was meant to be. And then after that, I was back on the street.
And you know, you just said something, because that's something that really, you know, my brother's gotten into some trouble and stuff, and completely turned, you know, changed his life around. Very lucky that my mom was so involved that she was writing letters to the doctors and the hospitals, like, hey, let him come back to doing his in the medical field. And I'm like, you're a dude who definitely messed up, and you admit it, you owned your shit. Now you're trying to make good, and they threw you out. It wasn't like the first day, like, hey, bro, unfortunately, you were already in the game doing it. They saw you were a good dude. Like, And then you could have either went, I bet you what 90-something percent of the people do, go down the wrong path and they just leave you there out to dry, man. That sucks, man.
Yeah, so so I get kicked out, and I'm like, shit, there goes the future that I was envisioning, you know, for myself. So I'm back on the street, and, you know, I'm selling, like, pounds of weed, you know, or picking up pounds of weed and mm-hmm. distributing that. And then I meet these guys from 18th Street in L.A.
Okay.
And when I met those guys from 18th Street, that's when they introduced me to the cocaine game, you know, okay. because they were all into the strippers and the coke and, you know, and I was just into weed, you know, I was just into weed. That's all I was. But at that moment, though, I did drink alcohol. So mm-hmm. when I drank a lot of alcohol when I was a teenager. So when I was 17, 18, 19, maybe 17, 18, yeah, probably 19 too, I drank the most ever in my life.
Nonstop.
I drank 240s a day.
Oh, you were just partying?
Nonstop. Wow. I was partying, you know, selling drugs, just, you know, so I didn't.
The definition of being down the wrong path, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You know, but I still also, you know, I loved training and stuff like that, martial arts and stuff like that, but I never found it at that moment until I was 19, and that's when DEA SWAT team came pounding on the door. Policeman Thirst won't open up. Policeman Thirst won't open up. Boom, get down, get down, get down, get down. And I'm on the ground, my hands out. My face is on the freaking carpet, and the door gets busted down, and I feel a boot on my head, and I feel a barrel next to the boot, you know? And it's like, don't move. I'm like, I ain't gonna move. But then, yeah, that's what really changed me, because when I got locked up, that was like, man, only the strong survive, really. You know, when you're locked up.
Are there any benefits of starting your career later, your fight game later? Like, any pros of it? Because it seems like, obviously, a pros, if you start at 14 or 15, you're more into it. But now at 20, maybe you're smarter. What, any pros of starting later, or were you always playing catch up?
That's what I'm saying. I always felt like I started late.
Mm-hmm.
But now that I think about it, now that I'm much more experienced and now I'm older now, I realize that it doesn't matter, because you could be 30 years old and it could be fresh in your life, but a lot can happen in 2 years. It depends on what you do and what type of habit you build for your life. And that's what's going to change your life in a couple of years. 2 years, that's all you need. And I've seen it before. I do it. Yeah.
How'd you get from starting late to being in Super Brawl, which is like huge in Hawaii? How did you get involved even in that fight? Like, when I was looking up about you, I don't like to read too much because I want to have a normal conversation and not scripted. But like, how'd you end up fighting in Super Brawl, like in Hawaii?
So what happened was I ended up joining a gym called Grappling Unlimited.
Okay.
And that gym was like, at that moment, it was what, 2002. They were like hard in the fight. MMA fight scene.
Mm-hmm.
Back then, it was still like, you know, like kickboxing and boxing, and you know, MMA wasn't a big scene. But this gym was really good. When we had the shows, like probably like every four months back then, or 5 months, whatever. There's this team that was always like dominating and doing well against the mainlanders, mm-hmm. guys, you know, from outside. And so I was like, man, I want to join that team. And so that's when I joined that team. And once I started training with them, I'm training with the guys that already fought, and I'm doing well against those guys. So like, oh, this is, you know, I'm a prospect now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's usually how it starts.
Was UFC even on your radar early on? Like, do you
That was my.
Oh, so you knew right away.
Yeah, that was my dream.
Wow, how'd you get noticed and signed? Because I think I'm looking now. You fought on a UFC 135. Tony Ferguson, Nate Diaz, Matt Hughes, John Jones, Rampage Jackson. That's a hell of a card to make your debut. How'd you get noticed and signed for that?
That was a last minute like that's like your opportunity.
Okay.
Like if you say no, you know, or if you pull out of that fight, guess what? You could possibly lose your opportunity to fight in the big show. And so for me, it was my Joe Soto fight.
Mm-hmm.
So the Joe Soto fight, Bellator was blowing me up right after. It was my manager. He told me all this. But he said that they were blowing him up. They said, we'll sign him tonight. Like, we'll sign Eddie Hagen six-figure contract tonight, right now.
Oh, wow.
Because I just beat their freaking...
Their guy.
I beat their guy, their freaking poster dude, like in 2 minutes. And it was like flawless.
Yeah, it dominated.
It was a flawless victory, man. And when I watched that video, I'm like, man, it was actually a flaw. He didn't touch me.
Mm-hmm.
Not even once. And so my manager was like, all you got to do is I'm going to email this thing to you. And all you got to do is electronically sign that and then you're in. And I was like, what about USC? And then he goes, oh, yeah, they liked you too, you know. But they haven't called me yet. So, but he was more like, he was looking at the money.
You know, of course.
100,000, damn, 100,000 right now. We could sign you right now. And I would have been his first big ticket sign if I signed that. But I asked him for UFC.
So you gambled on yourself. You straight up gambled on yourself.
I straight up gambled.
Wow.
Because here's the reason. The reason why I said that for myself was that I knew that that performance with Joe Soto was so spectacular
mm-hmm.
that I knew that I had room to play. You know what I'm saying? Like, if it was like one of those, like, oh, I pulled off a win, I barely pulled off a win, or, you know, it was like back and forth, you know, okay, but they'll give me an opportunity and be like, fuck this guy. You know, who the fuck you think he is? You know what I mean? But it was honestly like I took out their poster boy and it was like, holy shit. And then, you know, at the time it was like UFC versus Bellator,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? So it was like a rivalry between them two. So it was almost kind of like UFC didn't like the guys that decided to go, oh, you want to choose Bellator?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know what? You're never going to get UFC ever again. And this was like, you know what? I don't want that to happen to me because I've seen it happen to some of the fighters. I don't know if they tried, you know, but that was my goals is the UFC.
Let me ask you this as a fan, because I watch, I have a lot of fighters on my show. You fight UFC 135. Like I just said, the card was stacked. After you fight, are you going out to party? Are you going out? Or do you hang around there to watch the fights?
A great question. Man, I love your question. So after the fight, I'm one of the guys that – it just depends. Okay, so for example, the Joe Soto fight. Okay. Let me tell you about what happened after the Joe Soto fight.
All right.
You're going to love this. You're going to love this. So when you go back and you watch that fight, you're going to be, oh, he was right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So watch. After this fight, a guy jumps over on the cage. And he's like, he wants to kill me. You know, I destroyed his dreams. I don't know what I did. You know, he lost a lot of money.
Yeah.
We're at a casino. I don't know how much money he lost, but he probably lost a lot of money. You know, referees, they're all pulling him down, trying to get him off the cage. And then after that fight, they get him away. They have 10 security guards escorted me to my room. Okay. And it was like one on each side, one on the front, one in the back, two in the back, two in the front, like making sure like there was nobody even near touching me, getting close to me. And they walked me all the way to the room. They escorted me all the way to the room. And they wouldn't even let me take a shower. I was like, can I take a shower? Oh, no, man, you got to leave now. I was like, what?
Wow. Like, yeah. Like,
I was, and when I think about it now, it was for my safety. But back then, I was like, man, fuck these guys. I was like, man, I just won in a big show. And, you know, I was just all like a little selfish. And I didn't understand what was going on. But when I see the whole big picture today, it was for my safety because that guy that was trying to jump over the cage, he was Joe Soto's older brother.
No shit.
Yeah, and he was, you know, supposedly, this is what I don't even know the dude.
Of course.
But, you know, but I hear, you know, he has some type of pull in that area or whatever, so he knows a bunch of guys or whatever, the group or, you know, how it is.
Of course. But wow.
So, we come from the penthouse, and they're escorting off after I pack my stuff. They're escorting me downstairs. They escorted me down to the cashier cage, and it's funny because they're all like, and they're all like surrounding me, and it's like people are like, "Who is this guy?" Like they're covering up, you know. And they're just freaking up, and I'm getting my money, and it was one of my big. Oh no, it wasn't my biggest. It was a decent paycheck, you know, at that time, you know. But because it was a decent check, and they had to count the money and stuff like that, it was a big amount of cash. Mm-hmm. Everyone's watching, you know, who is this guy, this and that. And then they escort me after I get my money. I escort me to the front, and then CHP escorts me to the fucking freeway.
Come on.
Yeah.
Holy shit, that's wild.
Yeah. And so my whole point, right? So my celebration for this fight was we hit – there was like a couple exits down that we saw in and out.
Okay.
We pull over and there's a Chevron right there. You buy a couple 22s for the, you know, for my coaches and stuff, you know, so we could cheer. And it was a great celebration because we just took out their top dog. Poster boy, Bellator boy, like I just, it was flawless. It was crazy. Like I, you know,
wow.
One of those times in your career when you're like, that was amazing. It was just a wild ride, you know, wild. Mm-hmm. And so we celebrated in front of In-N-Out with our 22s. We didn't care. Because we were like, you know what? They just kicked out of the other city. You're not going to bust us for doing this. I was wearing my belt, you know, and then we were cheers. And it was like, man, we just enjoyed that celebration at In-N-Out.
That's so sick. That's right? Sick.
Yeah, we still talk about it till today. Like, you know, we jumped into my buddy's Lexus. And my boy Kong, like, he's such a big dude. Like, so, like, we had two big dudes in the front. And I'm, like, squished in the back because... We're in a little Lexus IS.
I when I went to your Wikipedia, I just looked up your fight thing, and you had like a 2-year gap from 2012 to 2014. Why the gap when you were winning and stuff? What happened with that? Why was there a 2-year gap?
Great question. 2012 and then 2014. Okay. That gap was I kind of hit a little – depression stage, and I was
April 21st 2012 till June of 2014.
So that's when I got injured for the fight. So after Mark Hominick, I catapulted. I mean, when I fought Mark Hominick, I was like ranked like 140 something in the world or something like that, you know. Okay. Hominick was like 9. So he was supposed to smash me too. But then once I fought Hominick, I catapulted to number 9, literally. So they're going to put me up against Seaver.
Oh my God. Okay.
Dennis Seaver was number 3 at the time. And so I was getting ready for that fight. But it was just one of those weird years when UFC had their very first UFC cancellation. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember that.
No, I don't.
Had their very first cancellation. It was supposed to be in Canada.
Okay.
And a lot of fighters couldn't make it or whatever happened. Going into Canada is a huge thing. And I think it was one of the first times for UFC to go into Canada or something. And so it's really strict and stuff like that.
Okay.
And so they postponed that event from like, first one was supposed to be like in April, I think, or something like that, or May.
Okay.
June even. And then they pushed it back to like August, and then they pushed it back to September.
Oh.
And that's when they canceled the whole thing. And then that's when I got that fight. Oh, the fight was in December, and I got injured in November. Oh. When I got injured, what I realize now is the importance of recovery. And I feel like if I practiced more on the importance of recovery, I feel like my fight career would have been longer.
I always respected you so much for that because obviously you had the talent. Obviously you can still fight. But after you left, you never came back for that money grab and stuff. Was that difficult not to do? Because I always see fighters, and it's very – I always say it's so hypocritical for guys like us. Like, I don't believe that guy went in the ring. Why Roy Jones going there when he was this – when they're throwing money at you and you never went back, was that a difficult urge not to get back in that ring?
Well, they didn't throw money at me.
Really?
You know, it was like
– I'm actually surprised with that because your name was heavy.
They were lowballing me. And I've seen what it did to other fighters, mm-hmm. and I didn't do it. That's the reason why I would have had more fights. Like, people were offering me fights from all over the world, mm-hmm. but they wanted me to accept chump change, and I know a lot of people were doing it. So I was like, I don't want that for me. Because
you're putting your life on the line in the ring, literally.
Well, basically, I guess when I look at it now, I'd be a businessman. You know, I was basically trying to build my worth, you know, and if I'm taking a fight at 10,000 here, and then someone in the other side of the country is offering me 2,500, and I take mm-hmm. That's an extra 2,500, then guess what? I just lost my value.
Yeah, you need to know your worth, and it seems like you did.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
What is it about Filipino fighters and Hawaiian fighters? Because you got that mix. It's legit all heart. Obviously, it's Manny Pacquiao. You can't have a conversation. BJ Penn, these dudes, Hawaiian dudes, Filipino dudes, they fight a lot like Mexican fighters, where it's just all heart, balls to the wall. Is that just something in your blood? Because it's always nothing's better than watching a Filipino, Mexican, Hawaiian fight. Like, a dude like BJ Penn, you, like, was it just all heart? Is that how it is?
Honestly, I feel like a good fighter is a fighter that always fights in his life. They're born, or born fighters, because you can't teach a person to be a fighter.
You can't teach that killer instinct, that survival instinct. No,
you can't. And that's like the difference. That's the difference between talent and the difference between, you know, someone that just trained to be good at something. And someone could be great. Yeah. Someone could be amazing. You know,
you can have all the talent in the world. You can have a basketball player with all the talent in the world, but they don't have that final drive to be like, go in the gym at 3 a.m. be like Kobe. You need to have that killer instinct. Not many have that.
Right. Yeah. And you know what, that killer instinct that you just said, like, I don't think I have like where that, it was a different type of killer instinct back then for me. For me, it was before I got in a fight in the ring, I would tell myself, I'm going to break the shit out of my leg on this guy.
Okay.
But now I care about my leg being broken. I don't want to live for like 2 weeks. I don't want to do it. I don't want to go through it. I've been there, done it. So I'm like, I mean, if it happens, it happens, it happens. But I'm not going to be like, I'm going to freaking break my, you know, like I was literally like my first kick. I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
I would kick my hardest, and it was like, wah! Like, if I broke my leg on him, I don't care. Like, I'll break my arm on him next.
Are you still a fan of the fight game? Because, like, a lot of guys, it's great. I'll have athletes on, like, Mariano Rivera just came off from the Yankees. And before the show, he's like, hey, bro, just don't ask too many particular Yankees questions. I really don't watch it. That's my job. Are you a fan of the game, or are you like, I'll throw it on if it's on, like...
I'm a fan of the game, but I'm not, like, familiar with... all the new fighters, like, I'm not like fanboy of the game.
Like,
I love the game, and I teach every day, and I bring up my new students, and I do watch fights, and there's particular fighters of the new generation that I am a fan of as well. But I'm not like if you're like, oh, you know, and you name this fighter like
in the 135 class,
you know, like, ooh, oh, this is going to be harder than I thought it was going to be.
All right, listen, I've taken up a lot of your time. Are you ready to finish up with some quick hit questions?
Yeah.
You finally come to New York City. You and I are hanging out. Who's the coolest person in your phone that if you texted them, they would text you back? You got a name drop here.
Ooh.
I take you to a bar, and everyone's like, oh, shit, I know that guy. He's a fighter. And you're like, hold on. He's the coolest cat in my phone. I'm going to text him. He'll text me back. Who is it?
It's a good question. And you said it's got to be a UFC fighter or something?
No. Anyone. Anyone that's gonna impress everyone. We're hanging out, a group of people there, you know, just everyone's like, yo. And we're just going around the table. Give me your phone. Who's the coolest cat in your phone? Okay. If you're like, I'm a Texas person, they'll text you back.
So when I when I look at it two different ways, right? This is I'm analyzing that question as this. Because it can go different ways. It's like this. It's like, okay, if I want someone to answer when I call, like, all right, guys, all right, yeah, they're gonna answer. You know, and I'm like, everyone's like, okay, yeah, let's see, right? It would be, you know, this female that I'm talking to, right? Her name's Mariah. Yeah, okay. But because it would be a female, because the dudes would be like, if they're busy, they're busy. You know what I mean? But
remember, dudes might want – here's the horrible thing about guys. They're probably like, what's the coolest dude in your phone? That's most guys, they're like, yo, no one wants to be like, yo, look at this hot girl.
Okay,
like,
okay, you're right. Okay, so then everything now. That's a good way. Okay, this might sound a little weird, man, but I don't really like – this is one thing about me that probably because of my upbringing, I'm so like independent to where even when there's so much people that are so willing to help me, like I'll just freaking crawl and I will fucking break my back to help myself. I don't know why I'm like that. Honestly, I don't know why. I want to be better. I really want to be better because I don't do it on purpose. You know, I don't do it because, oh, I don't need your help. It's not even like, trust me.
You don't do it like an asshole. It's just you. You're like, I'm good. I'll carry the refrigerator by myself.
Right. So, and that may be a leadership quality in me that I need to learn how to utilize. You know, and I almost felt like last night I started utilizing last night because my first event that I had at the gym, I did everything.
You didn't delegate, which you should have delegated like 10 different things.
Right
there. You didn't do any of that.
Right there. That right there. Which I should know better, but just I think it's just the excitement that I get too excited and I'm like, I'm going to do it and da-da-da. But now it's like the more – the second event was much more organized and it was like even more packed. So it's like I'm actually really excited for the future of this fight night that I'm creating.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
You still never answered the question. I need a cool person. Shoot. Sorry.
Sorry. I went off on a
– No. I'll be honest. I'm having a blast because it's not like, what do you eat? Eggs. Like, dude, I love the fact that we're just fucking kicking it and stuff.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I don't like those conversations. They're so bland.
No. Like in your fourth fight, you fought so-and-so. Like, dude, let's just kick it, you know?
Yeah, heck yeah. Do you smoke?
No. I'm an NYPD detective.
Okay.
My brother smokes more than any human alive, so I can't smoke till I can't smoke till I retire, so.
Okay. There's one thing, too, about me is and I'm not ashamed, like, I'm not ashamed to talk about my life because all the events that happened in my life, it created a better me, you know, things that I've done that were wrong and things that I've done that were right. It just created better things in me. But, I've been smoking since I was 13.
Yeah, my brother too, man. He thinks it's the greatest thing. He's like, bro, it's the best thing that ever happened. That's all he cares about.
The only time I ever quit was in UFC. And it's because the only reason was to pass the piss test. And that was the only reason. So it was 30 days. I would quit for 30 days and pass the piss test legit. You know? Legit.
Yeah.
Like when after 30 days, I'm like, come on. Which one? You want my pee too? Come on. I'll give everybody my pee. Come on. Everywhere. It's clean.
But then you're so proud of it. Like, everyone take it. It's so clean, proud. Bro.
So proud. Because, you know, it's tough.
It's tough. All right. Forget about the cool people on your phone. When I'm with you, I'm going to take your phone away. How about this? People have obviously asked you for your autograph and for your pictures. I know you're a proud dude. Who's the last dude or last person you asked to take a picture with? You're like, holy shit, that's blank. I need to go get a picture with him.
You know, the first it would be the first thing that came to mind when you said it. That's the experience I'm going to share with you. Is the first thing that popped into my mind when you mentioned that was I had And UFC won, what's it? Rampage was 145, right?
I think that was 135. Was Rampage. 135? Rampage? Yeah, just because it was in my notes. 145 was John Jones again, but.
Okay, so 135 was my first UFC, so I was a little, you know, starstruck, and I didn't want to believe that for myself, you mm-hmm. know, but I was like, oh, you know, that's just John Jones. Oh, that's just Rashad. Oh, that's just
Rampage.
The Rampage, you know, and I was walking into the hotel, and Rampage was getting out of his taxi, but his hands were full, right?
Oh.
And but he walks out, and then his guys walk out, and I was right here, and he's right here, and I was like, "What's up, Rampage?" But you know when you say "What's up" to someone, right? You're like, "What's up, man?" And then you're like trying to shake his hand, right? I did that. I was like, "Hey, what's up, Rampage?" And then he had his hands full, and he was like, and I was like, "Yeah, what's up, man?" And I walked away, and at that moment, I realized, I think I was starstruck.
Yeah, of course. Okay. That's a good story, man.
Yeah, like because I never felt that before. I never thought it would be me because I never really like I'm not really like a you know like Hollywood. I want to check out these actors, and I want to put posters of them on my wall and shit. And like it's not like that for me. You know, I don't idolize. You know, I look up to people like Bruce Lee and stuff like that, but I think some people go a little too far with certain things, you know. And,
just stalking celebrities to get a picture with them.
Yeah, it's not like that with me, you know. No. It's like, oh, that's cool what they do, whatever. But and if I see them walking past me, for me, it's just I think I just enjoy the moment.
Yeah.
And I kick myself in the butt sometimes. I'm like, man, I should have took a picture, man. This past fight last night, I made sure I was telling myself all night, take a picture, because I end up not taking pictures.
And then you lived in the moment, but you do want to experience that also, man.
It's the moment, man. You know? And so it's like, but it's, I'm starting to learn how to take pictures and enjoy the moment at the same time. I'm learning how to be a camera boy because I was like, I'm not a cowboy. But now it's like, man, I need to. Because when I see pictures from other people,
I know.
Man, that was an amazing experience. How come I don't have any pictures? Oh, because you weren't taking any pictures. I'm like, oh shit, you're right. I wasn't taking any pictures. I was the only one without my damn camera out. Everybody else was taking pictures.
That's funny shit.
Yeah, but the older I get, I realize this. Man, this is perfect for like the end of our podcast because the bottom line is this in life. It's the memories we build. It's who we be, who we become, because the memories we build are what shapes our lives. Because we can have a bad day, and then we can have the most amazing memory the next day, and it could sculpt the rest of our lives.
And it just makes everything better.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to finish up my two silly questions because that's a perfect way to finish it. Dude, this was a blast, bro. I had so much fun. No, I'm serious, bro. You got to come on again. We'll definitely do it again. Hopefully live. Hopefully live. Either you come to New York or when I'm out in Vegas, I travel a lot. We'll fucking, we'll link up. We'll kick it. And we'll do it. We'll eat a lot of food. We'll post pictures of eggs. People will get mad at us and tell us we have high cholesterol, but we'll be healthy.
Hell yeah. Love it.
Bro, I had so much fun, Mo.
Me too.
Listen,
this is probably one of my funnest podcasts I've ever done.
And dude, we didn't even know each other, so next time it'll be even better, man. But Kailangan mo pumunta sa Pilipinas. You need to get out there, bro.
I know. That's on my bucket list. It's gonna happen soon. My life is you know, I'm in a better place now, and so it's gonna happen for me soon.
Bro, keep being inspirational on Instagram. Keep putting up great recipes. I'm gonna jump on them, bro, and let's keep in touch, man.
Where can I find this podcast?
When I'm gonna edit it up tonight, and then I'll send you all the links. It's on Apple, Spotify, iHeart, it's on everything. I'll send it to you. I'll probably release it in a couple of days.
Cool. Sounds good.
Bro, this was so much fun, man.
Yeah, let's do it again soon.
Keep in touch, brother. See you later, man.
All right, bro. Have a good day.
Bye bye.
When you're part of a military family, you understand sacrifice and support. At American Public University, we honor your dedication by extending our military tuition savings to your extended family. Parents, spouses, legal partners, siblings, and dependents all qualify for APU's preferred military rate of just $250 per credit hour for undergraduate and master's level programs. American Public University, value for the whole family. Learn more at apu.apus.edu/military.